Blog Talk Radio.
It's now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Is the 1st of July, 2023, just days away from the 4th. But as usual, you know it's going to be a fireworks weekend everywhere. And here in the ATL in Atlanta, Georgia, broadcasting live, they're preparing for a big fireworks show at Centennial Park in downtown Atlanta. In fact, considered the largest fireworks show in the country. But Happy Saturday, you guys. Again, I apologize for the technical difficulty we just had here. And, you know, I'm going to have a real long talk. In fact, I'm not going to talk anymore with my phone provider. I've been with them for over 20 years, and I'm still having this issue. But let me go ahead and open up the mic to the lady of the house, my co-host, Miss Janet Pollock. Hawkins Davis. Happy Saturday, Janet. Happy, oh, my goodness. Yes, I can't believe.
Happy Saturday to you too, Michael.
Yeah, thank you. I've seen some people pop up on the board. You know what? I was on air, and I was talking, and all of a sudden, click, and I said, what the hell? And I'm looking at the board. I'm looking at people calling in, and they're sitting there, and I just get shut off. And I'm... So now, you know, I'm calling my provider, and they're like, "Oh, we're sorry, Mr. Michael." Blah 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 blah. And I'm like, "Well, look, I'm on, you know, I was on air, and you guys, now mind you, the bill's paid, okay? My bill's paid.
Wow.
Right.
I thought you had a tribute to Edna Cowan.
No. The thing is that here's the crazy thing. I was able to open up the board. And by the way, you guys, it's the board here to do the show. And I was able to open up the board. I started talking. I did my usual introductions, all the usual stuff. And next thing you know, my phone stopped, right? And here's the thing. I have Metro PCS. I've been with Metro PCS for over 21, almost 22 years. Okay?
And you have problems.
When you use – I'm sorry?
You used
to have
problems
saying,
when we were cool critics.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Metro PCS considers Blog Talk Radio, any phone number basically, almost all of them when you call in, as a chat line. So they charge you an additional charge to use their service, even for me, to call into my own show. I'm like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. Where'd you guys start this BS? You know, because in the beginning they didn't. But they figured, well, that's a way to make more money. So, you know, I said, okay, cool. $10 extra a month, I'll do it. But you have so many minutes, right? It's your select share minutes. Now, I know I don't use that many minutes. You know, I really don't. But anyway, long story short. But they cut my phone off. Everybody else is calling in. But fortunately, I was on the board already, so I was able to play some songs so it's not just dead air, right, while I'm talking to them. But here's the thing that pissed me off, Janet. They're like, oh, Mr. Michael. And you can hear all the people in the background, all the operators. You know, just talking to their fans. And so, well, Mr. Michael, I see that you've been wow, such an honor to talk to you. And I'm like, yeah, thank you. Okay, yeah, you've been with us over 20 years. I said, mm-hmm, but I need to get on air. That's why I'm calling you. I don't have time to talk about all this other stuff. And she's like, oh, okay, well, Mr. Michael, first of all, I want to offer you a special that we have. I said, ma'am, I don't have time. You know, it's so funny. Ooh. They want to sell you more crap. Take care of me now while I'm calling you. I'm not calling for something to pay more for.
With Straight Talk, have never been charged. Never.
Well,
for anything.
I don't know. I don't know. These phone services are crazy. Yeah, well, I believe it, but it's so crazy because, I mean, you look at Straight Talk, Total Wireless, Family Mobile, Verizon, and the crazy thing. But the crazy thing is a lot of these companies use other companies' towers. So I guess, in fact, I think, who was it? Was it Verizon or was it? No, T-Mobile bought Metro. Right, T-Mobile bought Metro PCS. So, but you know, they all don't operate the same, which is interesting.
Mm.
But let's move on. Let's move forward. The reason why I was playing those tracks so that at least it wasn't any dead air. But I want to share this part before we get into the other topics we want to get into. You know, last Saturday we were on air, and when we got off air, I got a text from a friend and told me that a childhood friend of mine had passed away that I had known, hell, ever since I was like 8, 9 years old. We grew up in the same neighborhood, and his name was Stevie Lewis. Stevie was a character, truly was a character. You know, he could get all the girls easily. You know, but he was something else. And, you know, in my neighborhood growing up, and I grew up in Altadena, California, there was the Lewis family, there was the Bird family, of course, our family, the Gays, there was the Robledos, there was the Brattons, and we all grew up, you know, just down the street from each other or up the street from each other. And, again, Stevie was a character. Well, years go by, I don't see or hear from Stevie. You know, I moved to Georgia, and thanks to social media, we crossed paths. But this time I crossed paths with him, and he's Pastor Stephen D. Lewis, and he became an internationally known minister. To my surprise, I was like, Stevie? A minister? A pastor? Not just, I mean, just everywhere. And fortunately, he and I had a chance to talk to each other on numerous occasions in recent years. And he had informed me that he would come to Georgia quite often. And I was in hopes that then the next time he came here that we would be able to, you know, reunite as homeboys, as, you know, childhood compadres, you know. Well, last Saturday, I found out that Stephen or Pastor Lewis had passed away with complications of cancer. And, you know, that bothered me because quite a few of my childhood friends that I grew up with in California, in Altadena, had passed. Chuck Bratton passed. Eddie Bird passed. Stevie Lewis passed. Squeaky Bird had passed. You know, there's so many people, you know, you when you hear of that and the bad the thing that really got is that we had hoped to, you know, see and I hope to, you know, see him be at a church which he said he normally comes here as a guest speaker, and I was looking forward to that, you know. But I understand not many people knew he was suffering from cancer. But then the reason why I was playing a lot of the music from Soul Hour Records, another individual that I met back when I was my 18, 19, well, 19 years old, was a woman named Edna Collison. And Edna was the, she was a vice president. She was in charge of promotions for Solar Records. And for you folks that don't know about Solar Records, well, you should, because some of your biggest hits, which I just played, from The Whispers, Shalimar, Lakeside, Dynasty, Midnight Star, The Deal, you know, all came from that camp under the guidance and the founder and president of the label, Mr. Dick Griffey. And thanks to Dick Griffey, you guys got Babyface now because, actually Miss Carrie shared it here on the show, and Edna Collison was on our show before and as a guest some years back. And I think that was back when we were the Cool Critics, right, Janet?
Yeah.
No, it was after Cool Critics. Was it before or after? I don't know. Was it before the name changed?
I thought it was during Cool Critics.
Oh, okay, it was during Cool Critics.
That's
right. It was the Cool Critics on the J. King Network, right, just before
right.
Lynn Tolliver changed the name from the Cool Critics to the Michael Gay Show, right. Okay, so, but I got to tell you guys something about Edna. Back in the days, I used to go to Solar in the summer, and I was just privy to hang around the office. My brother worked in promotions, and when these artists were preparing to, or better yet, when the label was preparing to release these hot singles, these awesome tracks, these albums, I was privy to hear all of it before it even hit the radio. I met Howard Hewitt before he even got on a stage for people to see him for the first time, hung out with him for a whole day. It was just so cool, you know, because it was like, and Howard was really a quiet guy, still is to a certain extent, but he was just really a quiet guy, more of an observer. And Edna used to let me just hang out with her, and this was before, you know, the cell phone and all that crap, you know, where, you know, the cell phones that are now computers, you had to go someplace. You couldn't just text messages. You had to drop off. You had to fax stuff, or you had to drop off stuff and yourself. And I remember just, you know, just going along for the ride. And, you know, just watching her work, you know, and watching her do these, you know, these things as far as promoting these artists was just amazing. The woman just had a drive, just a unbelievable drive. And the things that were, as she shared, if you recall, Janet, that she even managed, not managed, but she did promotions, was head of promotions for Barry Manilow, Mr.
Yeah.
Copacabana,
Mr.
I Write the Songs, you know, I mean, that's heavy. That's pretty heavy. And as she shared on the show, is that you would think that she would have a certain group that she really loved the most, and she did. Her favorite band, hands down, was the Beatles. And she had shared with me, she said, I have so much Beatle paraphernalia, you wouldn't believe it, Michael. You know, she really loved it. She said, she's originally from New York. She was originally from New York. And, you know, just the type of person she was and just to be in her presence was powerful. She had a beautiful smile, had that great New York accent, but she was a stern businesswoman. I had intended on having some people from Solar to join us, but I said, you know, I'm going to pass on it because I don't know. I just said, you know, it was such short notice because she was diagnosed with cancer herself, and not long ago, it just took her so quickly. You know, not long ago. She was diagnosed with cancer. And you know what's the trip, Janet, is that what I've come to find out, you know, later on, is that Edna was kind of a, you know, slim, of course, I'm sure you've seen the photos of her, slim,
yeah, sure.
Beautiful woman. Yeah.
But she got into weightlifting. So she didn't get to the point of, like, you know, some folks think women who weightlift it. No, she just, you know, put on some more muscle and just, like, transformed herself to where she was a strong man. You know what I mean? Just had a great, what's what I'm looking for? Well-toned, you know what I mean? And at her age and would go into competitions and stuff. She was just an awesome, adventurous type person. One thing she taught me, don't call her ma'am. She did tell me that one time. We were talking one time, and I said, she asked me a question. I said, no, ma'am. She said, Michael, don't say that. I'm from the North, baby. I'm not from the South, okay? I'm not into that,
yeah,
yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir.
Yeah. I got used to it after I relocated down here. Because, but that's, you know, they say that's respect. So I was like the oldest almost within my department and in that company. And so they automatically said ma'am, even directors and, you know, managers and things, you know. So I just overlooked it.
Yeah. She, because when she said, don't ever say that to me again, I almost screwed up and said, okay, ma'am. I almost did it again. I said, all right, Michael, you know, watch it now. Cause, and it was no joke. But I have to say last weekend was really, after the show that we did Saturday, it was really tough because I kept getting this information first on Saturday, then on Sunday. And I just got to thinking that, you know, life is short, you know, you know, you got to enjoy every minute of it. And just to have two people that I really have fond memories of past like they did in such, you know, in this, at that time. Yeah, it's kind of tough, you know. So my condolences to the Lewis family. My condolences to the Collison family. Pretty tough. So that's why, for some of you guys that were tuned in or tuning in, I see someone here in the chat room. While you were hearing the music from Shalimar and the Whispers, if not for Edna Collison, that label would not have took off like a rocket in the way that it did. I want to give you guys a little more information before I change up. Let me see if I can find this real quick. And for you old school folks, you'll understand some, or you'll recognize some of these names. If I can pull it up one second. Come on. Okay, here we go. Let me see. One moment. And by the way, we're going to get into our hot topics in just a moment, okay? So I pulled up her Facebook account, and on her Facebook account, there's a picture of her, President Dick of Solar, who's also deceased, but also Edna getting a warm hug from the greatest of all, Mr. Muhammad Ali. This was taken at Solar, this photo, in Dick Rippey's office. But her resume reads like this. She worked at RCA Records, Sussex Records, Buddha Records, West Coast Promotion at Classic Motown, former vice president of Solar Records, former partner at Total Experience Records. Now, for you guys that don't recognize some of these labels, Gladys Knight and the Pips were on Buddha. Many other R&B artists were on there. Total Experience Records was really known greatly for the Gap Band and also Pink Donut Show. Worked at the Urban Buzz, former partner at Stiletto Entertainment. She went to Washington Urban Campus. She lived in Las Vegas. She's from Washington Heights. And that's pretty much it. I mean, but that resume of all those labels that she worked for and, you know, just blew away, you know, or actually blew up the promotion field and promoting all these great artists. We always talk about the groups, but we seldom talk about the people behind the scenes. and Edna Collison was one of the greatest. All right, so.
Amen.
All right, so let's move forward. And by the way, Janet, there were some numbers here on the board, and I know some of the folks are like, oh, there's no show today, what happened? So I'm texting some of them to let them know they can call back in and that we're here, okay? Okay, so let's go to our first topic. Let's get into the political field. Janet, I'm pretty sure you have a lot to say on this. But this week, the Supreme Court did some interesting moves.
Mm.
Affirmative action is no more.
Mm-hmm.
Affirmative action is no more. What's your thoughts on
Jen? I feel like the Republicans had an agenda for the longest. Well, the far right, not the Republicans, but the far right, you know, had an agenda for the longest to overturn, you know, all these things that were helpful to people, like Roe versus Wade, the abortions, the affirmative actions, leveling the playing field for students to be able to go to college and, you know, for them to strike down when Biden wanted to give relief to the college, you know, the loan, the student loan, you know, to strike that down. I mean, the things that they have been striking down lately, it's like they're trying to roll back time. Nobody is going back to the 50s, you know. Too many things have been happening, and we know it's all for one thing, reason, because people feel like they are losing power because the minorities are really the majority, and so they want to change things. They want to stay in power, and they're going to do whatever it takes. And that's how I feel.
Okay.
It's not right.
Interesting point.
And they're going to do things to try and change, fix it. You know, I know Biden said he is, and I, you know, I have faith that he'll try. You know, but as long as he's in office, whatever he's doing, they're going to try and knock down because they don't want him to succeed. You know?
Well, here's what this article says here. Let me read a little bit of it. In a historic decision, the U.S. Supreme Court on Thursday effectively ended race-conscious admission programs at colleges and universities across the country. In a decision divided along ideological lines, the six-justice conservative supermajority invalidated admission programs at Harvard and the University of North Carolina. It goes on to say, the decision reverses decades of precedent upheld over the years by narrow Supreme Court majorities that included Republican-appointed justices. It ends the ability of colleges and universities, public and private, to do what most say they still need to do, consider race as one of many factors in deciding which of the qualified applicants is to be admitted. Now, with that being said, I think I heard Joy Reid say that, there was someone on her show say something about, but that's such a small percentage of individuals. It's so small.
Yeah.
Who are?
What's a small percentage of individuals? The percentage of individuals who felt like they weren't getting a fair shake for?
A small percentage of individuals who are given the help of affirmative action. It's so small. It's not like,
yeah,
you know.
And
she said it
helped her. But she said she always felt like when she went to Harvard that they treated her like she didn't belong, you know, because she got in there through affirmative action. Not that she was smart and that's why she got in there. But, Michael, the one thing that they did say, oh, this is not going to affect military. So what they want, just for minorities to go join the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, the Marines. You just don't go to college, you know, but it's okay for you to go to military. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They said, oh, that's going to have to go to military school. Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't affect the military schools, only the private and public colleges.
Colleges, That's the reason why we had a lot of black colleges, because they couldn't get into regular colleges. And so they had to have something, you know. And then when affirmative action came along, that helped a lot of people. And it's not just for schools. It's gonna affect jobs, a lot of different things.
You know, this has been an interesting year, because, I mean, you look at what you have mentioned, the Roe versus Wade. Now, people ask me, well, what do you think, Michael? What do you think? Technically, as the host, I don't have to say what I think. I'm the mediator, I'm just the mediator. But I'm not a woman, so I can't really say what a woman should or should not do with her body. Now, people argue and say, well, that's a child or anything. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know, at what point a fetus or embryo, I don't know.
Well, maybe they need to pass a bill for men to have a vasectomy to level the playing field.
Okay. Mandatory vasectomy. But the thing is, but here's the thing. The problem I really had was that there were some politicians said that it didn't matter if it was a case of rape or incest. Now, at that point, I draw the line. I'm like, no, come on, man.
I draw the line on anything, because that should be the doctor and the woman, and maybe her husband or friend or whoever their mate is, but not for politicians to be in the bedroom or at the doctor's office.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
They want they're not the only ones gonna have the babies. Everybody gonna have babies that can have a baby.
Yeah, I understand. And some folks say, well, there's women out there that get pregnant and they just want to get on welfare and this, that, and the other. There's all sides of stories. But the thing is that when I say to people who ask me, I said, but when it comes to incest and when it comes to rape, I can't imagine forcing a woman to give birth to a child she did not willfully, participate in the pregnancy. She did not willfully give her body to the perp. You know what I'm saying?
And
I think
it's wrong also, Michael, for a woman who's carrying a child that's no longer living to not be able to have an operation to get rid of that child or induce labor because the child is brain dead or whatever. They don't care. A few women have almost died from being septic carrying a child that was dead, but nobody would help them.
So, and then my other question is this. I'm just one who sits back and I listen. Like I said, I'm the moderator. But the thing is that I'm like, okay, so if you're going to make it like this, there's some concerns of where people will seek out illegal abortion then, And then also you have to look at there's another concern, not just illegal abortions, but also
they call them back alley.
But also, so if you force this individual to have the child, and it's a child themselves, right? This is a teen mother now who can't get an abortion based on whatever the situation is. I mean, it could just be, where, like you mentioned, certain issues with the child, where the doctors say, hey, look, this child is brain dead, this, that, and the other, or whatever. Who's going to raise the child?
Mm-hmm.
So is the government going to come up with programs to help?
No, they're trying to get rid of those programs.
But that's what I'm saying. So what's the what's the alternative? If you can't abort and you have to give birth, who's going to raise the child?
Make it a world of have and have not. That's what they've been trying to do. Because in the same breath of them trying to overturn all these different things, they're also trying to get rid of Medicaid, Medicare, food stamps, things that help people who are making less than base, what do you call, base rate. A lot of places still don't pay the minimum wage.
True. That's very true. And even, and you know, it's funny that you said that, because here's what I found interesting. And I mean, I still, it boggles the mind of where, you know, the largest retail company, Walmart, you know, I mean, you know the thing of where they had issues about working people off the clock, overtime, or, you know, beyond time, you know, kids who's supposed to be off at a certain time and can't be working at certain hours and this and that. And they were, you know, accused of that some years ago. So Walmart and many other companies were paying a really low, you know, what, $7.50, $8 an hour and everything. And then here comes the pandemic, right? All of a sudden, mm-hmm. these companies are looking for employees, and they raise the minimum wage. Now the minimum wage, I think, at most stores are like $14 an hour, double of what they were paying before. But they could have done that shit years ago. And they're still finding it hard to keep employees. Look at how many
because
companies are having
to. Because now $14 is like $7. They waited so
right.
long, they're behind the times. That's why.
You know, well, that's a good point. It's pretty much like $7. And when you look at the cost of stuff going up, right, it's almost like, well, I only took home $7.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. And if
sure
you look
is.
At the thing, if you look at where renting is out the roof to rent an apartment,
sure
kids
is.
Don't move. Kids do not move out of mom and daddy's house and buy a house. They try to get an apartment. And apartments are just extremely high.
Well, they used to, but not, yeah, but now the apartments are extreme, because you can get a two-bedroom apartment, $1,800. You might as well buy
mm-hmm.
a house. But now the inflation, you can't buy a house because everything, the interest rates are so high.
Right.
Exactly. You know, yep. I mean, it's like a no-win situation. I've been hollering at the TV all weekend. Jesus.
Yeah.
Because the water crisis has been happening.
No, I mean, the thing is that we're, you know, what you just said, and I listen to folks say that, well, you know, this and the other. I'm like, yeah, but you know, when they finally broke ground, well, I won't say broke ground, but when they finally raised the minimum wage, or companies started saying, hey, look, you know, we're going to, you know, bring it up to $15 an hour. And I remember when it first started out, pretty much like with fast food. And I remember guys that I know that worked in construction that were making $16, $17 an hour. And they said, they're going to pay a guy that much money to flip a burger. That's bull. That's crap. Well, who's going to make it off of $7 an hour nowadays? You know?
Yeah.
I understand you work construction. You know, you doing this, that, and the other. But it shouldn't really be a comparison as far as the job that you do.
But, Michael, I think the construction has gone up, because back in the day when I was helping out your dad with the, you know, they were doing like $15 an hour was more like the minimum that
mm-hmm.
they were paying some of the sub-laborers, you know. So now
right.
it's got to be higher.
Well, it should be, yeah. I'll never forget the company I worked for. I was complaining about a raise. I said, well, we're going to give you a raise. Mind you, I had to drive from, you know, from Marietta, Georgia, up to Jackson County. No, up to Lawrenceville. And that's a good little drive, okay? And they said, well, yeah, we're going to give you a raise. And they said, we're going to give you 50 cents more. I'm like, cool. But then what they did, they transferred me to another job in downtown Atlanta, a little closer to home. So I'm like, cool. But here's what they didn't tell me. I'd have to pay for parking. So about 50 cents more an hour came up to $20 more in my paycheck. No, no, no. That $20 went towards parking because it cost me $20 a week to park in a parking structure. I'm like, really? So I got $20 raise to just be able to have a my car parked. I didn't go in my pocket. That went into the parking company's pocket. See, they knew.
And not only that, Michael, but also when I worked in a manufacturing, the money, you might have gotten a raise, but it went into the insurance. They raised the insurance rates, you know. So it was like, what was the raise? You still was making the same amount of money.
Because
they took it away.
Same thing. Wow.
That's cool. It's sad. You know.
So with the affirmative action, just staying on, I'm sorry, we got off course there, but with affirmative action, again, I want to go back to what I saw, a clip of Joy Reid. Clarence Thomas was one who, of course, voted it down. You remember
and affirmative action helped him.
Well, you remember when Clarence Thomas and the Anita Hill dealings, right?
Yep.
Now, there
was
a panel.
Right there.
Okay, so there was a panel of Republicans and Democrats listening to this hearing, right? Right? So here's what I found interesting is that where, according to Joy Reid, the blacks, even on the Democrat side, went ahead and felt like, well, you know what? We're going to believe his story, right, basically. So really in that whole hearing, he got help from the Democratic side. Am I right?
Yeah, because Biden was part of the committee, and they went on and let him be confirmed in to be a Supreme Court justice. Yeah.
Now that's pretty deep, right? That's pretty deep.
Yeah.
So they, now think about that. Right. Biden was head of committee. He could have, played like some Republicans. Some of the party are, and be like, I don't believe him. He's lying, you know, and everything like they're doing now. But they said, okay, you know what? We're going to just go ahead and say, no, that there's not enough evidence, there's not enough testimony, whatever they decided on. And this cat has a lifelong job. Supreme Court justice has a job for life. Either you step down or you die in office, right? Technically.
Yeah.
And look at what he did. He voted against affirmative action.
Well,
and
we knew that was going to be next, though, Michael. I mean, you know, after they overturned the abortion, the anything that's there to help the people that's less fortunate, they're trying to overturn, to get rid of. Yeah, it's sad. I mean, there was the agenda from the Federalist Society, I think it's called, and this one guy that is cozy with Clarence Thomas, the one who bought the house and the property and the lots and the whole neighborhood. What's his name? Wait, now I can't think.
And where?
But anyway,
where, I can't recall who it is, but go ahead.
Yeah. So it's been the plan of, you know, just a few rich. They bought the Supreme Court justices, at least six of them. They bought them. They're bought out. You know, they're not supposed to be political. I wouldn't want to take anything to the Supreme Court. not the way they're voting on things right now, you know. And they, and Al Sharpton said they were setting them up for the okie doke. He said because the shutdown in three areas, the way they did the district, drew the maps and told them they know they couldn't do it, right? He said, I hope when this this affirmative action comes before them that they don't shoot, strike it down. That's just what they were, that's what they did. Didn't take them long to do it either.
Okay, so what do we do at this point? Because I'm seeing a lot of folks, Donnie Simpson had posted something. You guys remember Donnie from BET. Michelle and Barack Obama posted some responses to what had just occurred. What do we do? What do black colleges do? What do parents do when it comes to deciding a college to go to? Do you try to go to a black college? You know, I mean, what do you do?
I think that it's going to go back to probably almost the way it was before, because they said, oh, you can write an essay. They said, to talk about yourself, you can write an essay. But how many young people is going to write an essay good enough to be able to have them sway them to let them come to the college? You know,
it's going
back the way it was before. The chances for blacks to get into a regular college was hard. That's how that's why they had the black colleges.
Because
it was hard to get in.
Yeah,
money-wise,
yeah.
Everything. You know, you taking away the student loan. You taking away the affirmative action. So what choice do they have but to go to a minority college?
And the thing is, here's an interesting question. If you wind up going to a HBCU, you graduate from there and you go to, you get a degree from there, how many corporations or companies are going to look at that as being good enough to work for them? You know what I'm saying? How many? You went to a black college, huh?
Yeah, because you know, back in the day, Michael, they gave a lot of the books that went to the black schools, the schools that were minority, feel a lot more minority. They got books, the hand-me-downs. They didn't get the good stuff. They got the hand-me-downs. You know, so what is going to be hand-me-downs for college? I'm just saying. Like I said, I've been arguing with the TV.
But then again, you know, some of the hand-me-downs might be okay because, see, when you look at the new stuff, they kind of, like, tweak it to their liking. So, you know, that's a crossroad in a sense, you know what I mean, where, you know, maybe the older books might be more beneficial, I guess, for someone than the newer books because it's just like, I'm not going to get into Bibles. But, you know, that you put in certain things or, you know, that are tweaked. I can't say it any other way. But, I guess now it's something that we have to wait and see type thing, what occurs after this Supreme Court ruling.
Well, you know, I've always felt like I have to say this.
Hold on just a second. I don't understand how I don't believe someone should be in any passive of an office forever. I just don't see that.
Not me either.
Even a Supreme Court, that's the only political position that you can hold without a vote. You are picked, and you get the position. And I'm not going to say there's nothing that can keep you from being removed from position, but you're there forever. Certain roles in politics, if the people keep voting you in, at one point, Strom Thurmond was one who was Carolina, or was it one of the Carolinas? You know, for decades, you know, there should be a cutoff point, just like for a presidency. You can only do 8 years. I think as a Supreme Court, there should be a cutoff point for any role in politics.
And ethics should play a key role in them making their decision, you know, but they have not been doing that. You're not supposed to, the people working in the government, they can't take gifts and expensive trips and things like that. And it should be across the board. And they can't, people can't say, well, I didn't know, because they knew. They knew, but they did it anyway.
Well, you always
they took money anyway.
You always know who's footing the bill. If it ain't coming out your pocket, it's coming out of somebody's. You know, you always should know who's putting the bill. Oh, someone gave me a gift. Who was it? We can't tell you. Okay, no problem. No, I want to know who's doing this. Hell, yeah, that's craziness. Okay,
and Trump gets back in, it might end up being a complete conservative Supreme Court. Nine, not three liberals and six conservatives.
Okay. So let's, it's 7:02 p.m. right now. We got a couple of more topics we want to go over. I'm not sure which one I want to go to next, but, well, let's go to Christine King Ferris, the last King sibling. Well,
sibling.
Not the last King sibling, but actually Dr. King's last closest sibling outside of his kids and everything.
She
but,
was her sister. She was his sister.
Yeah,
she's
yeah,
the
I said,
last
I said
of
closest,
the kings.
Closest. Janet, let me finish, please. The last sibling of Dr. King, meaning his sister. She passed away a couple of days ago, and you know, something because what was she, 90 something?
95
years old. Wow. Imagine all the things she's seen in her lifetime.
Yeah, she was a professor and an activist. You know, she played a major role in a lot of different things also, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
95 years old. I'm trying to pull up this article here. Give me a second. I'm trying to pull up this article on her. Please bear with me. Okay. I think I got it. Wait a minute. You sent that article?
Yeah, that was the first one I sent you. It don't want to come up.
Okay. Okay, hold on.
It pulls up.
Yeah, I see it. I see it here now. All right, so let me read a little bit of this, you guys. Christine King Ferris, Martin Luther King Jr.'s sister, has died. Her family and the Martin Luther King Jr. Center announced, and this is in quotes, as the eldest sibling of my father, Martin Luther King Jr., Aunt Christine embodied what it meant to be a public servant. Martin Luther King III wrote, this is what he wrote on Twitter. Like my dad, she spent her life fighting for equality and against racism in America. Ferris died Thursday morning, according to the King Center, and let me read more. She was a founding board member of the nonprofit that Coretta Scott King started in 1968 in the wake of her husband's assassination, and she served in other roles at the center. Quote, I love you and will miss you, Aunt Christine. And that was from Bernice King. And it shows a lot of folklore. But President Biden said Thursday evening, she lived as an example of Americans' promise, shaping the history of the journey of America in the 20th and the 21st centuries. She stood for peace, freedom, and justice, virtues that reflect the best of our nation. Born Willie Christine King on September 11, 1927, in Atlanta, she was the first child of Martin Luther King Sr. and Alberta Williams King. Her brothers, Martin and Alfred, Daniel King were born in 1929 and 1930, respectively. According to the Martin Luther King Jr. Research and Education Institute at Stanford University, Ferris was the inspiration for a significant moment in the future civil rights leader's life. In an essay, King wrote about a guest evangelist speaking at their Sunday school and inviting children to join the church. Quote, "My sister was the first one to join the church that morning, and after seeing her join, I decided that I would not let her get ahead of me, so I was the next," King wrote. "I had never given this matter a thought, and even at the time of my baptism, I was unaware of what was taking place. From this, it seems quite clear that I joined the church not out of any dynamic conviction, but out of a childhood desire to keep up with my sister." That's pretty deep.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty deep.
Mm-hmm.
And
that sounds like me, Michael. I had to keep up with my brother. So I knew how, mm-hmm. before kindergarten, how to spell names. I knew my colors, my ABCs, my numbers, you know, because I was trying to keep up with my brother. I used to read the paper mm-hmm. and didn't even know what I was reading, but I made a story out of the pictures.
mm-hmm.
But I could imagine keep trying to get one up on your sibling. Mm-hmm.
Well, that opens up the door for other things, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not just keeping up. By keeping up, it opened up the door of your mind to think even further, which basically that's what it says here, in my
mm-hmm.
opinion. You know, following that lead led him to where he went to, or what he became.
Yes.
But not that. Probably would have been, history would probably be totally different. So that's an interesting read there. I never knew that. That was a
your
quote.
Your dad used to tell
up.
Stories about the Kings, how they couldn't
yeah.
leave the yard. And he
yeah,
used to, they used to give money for them to go to the store to get candy.
Yeah, my dad lived down the road, down the street from the King home. And they couldn't leave the yard. And they would go, not just candy, like, you know, like little snack cakes and stuff like that. And would go ahead and get it for them. But, my dad, this is his home, and that's why I'm here, I guess, because he taught me to come in here, you know, to Georgia. Because unlike the rest of my siblings, the four oldest, well, you know, my dad was in the military and everything, was born here in Georgia. Met my mom and they got married, lived in Detroit. My four oldest siblings were born in Detroit, and then myself and my youngest sister were born in California when they moved to California. And then
mm-hmm.
my dad and his widow, moved here to Georgia, and my dad taught me into coming here to Georgia. When I first came here, I hated it. I really did. I hated Georgia. Back in the 80s, and it was so racist here. I mean, really bad. And I said, nah, I can't deal with this. And I went back to California for a while. But then I got to thinking, you know, it is a little cheaper, though, in Georgia. I'm not going to let these racist white folks run me away from something I feel that can be comfortable, right? And so I came back. And, you know, I've been here ever since. And it started changing. Now, granted, the South isn't going to always be the South. There were some changes here and there and that I've noticed, but it's still slow at change, you know, and still slow at a lot of things. But it made me think, well, this is not as bad. And you can't fear people or fear ideologies, right? You have to get beyond that, and you have to be stronger than that. So I've been here ever since. And I want to stay here. So anyway, let's see. Janet's call dropped, so let me see if she makes it back in. So I see someone here in the chat room. Duck Northwest Media. Uh-oh. Hey, Duck. How are you doing? Thank you for listening in. If you have a question or comment, well, obviously, you know Blog Talk Radio, so you're welcome to type in your question or comment, or you can call in. And by the way, anyone listening to the show here on the Internet, you can call into the show at 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861. We are on every Saturday live, broadcasting from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And happy 4th of July weekend to you if you're getting ready for any festivities, barbecues, fireworks shows, you know, all of the above. You know, enjoy yourself, but be safe. All right, don't let the kids handle the heavy-duty fireworks, okay? Give them the sparklers. Don't give them the heavy-duty stuff. You know, because I see so many stories, unfortunately, after holidays of folks being harmed or hurt by being careless with certain things, you know. So, you know, don't let the kids get involved to a point that they can be hurt. So let's take a quick music break. Again, I want to say I want to play some music from some of the artists that were on Soul Out Records in memory of Miss Edna Collison, and we're going to come back with another topic. Now, Edna had nothing to do with this song, but Leon Silvers III, oh my goodness, that brother wrote so many hit songs for all those great artists. And he's still writing great songs. And here's the latest from Shalimar, actually. Yeah, he's still at it, and they're still at it, with Howard Hewitt, Jeffrey Daniel, and Carolyn Griffey, the daughter of Miss Carrie Lucas and Mr. Dick Griffey. Here's the latest single from them. We'll be right back.
I like what we have. Nothing better. We got a strong foundation, one that's built on love.
What's up, y'all? This is St. James, and you're listening to TMGS, The Michael Gay Show. Tune in every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for interesting topics and awesome music. Now back to the show.
But thank you, St. James. We appreciate it. And welcome back, Janet Davis. I see that you dropped for a minute.
Yeah.
So your mic is open. Yeah, okay. Oh, first I want to say that's the real thing. Shalimar. You know, mm-hmm. Howard Hewitt, Jeffrey Daniels, and Carolyn Griffey. Written, produced, performed by the legendary Mr. Leon Silvers III. Of course, of Silvers. Wow, that brother's still cranking out some great music. Look it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's available. Okay, so the time is now 7:18 p.m. here on the East Coast. And so what I want to do is, well, we were talking about Ms. King, Ms. Ferris. You know, her brother was a historic figure. And, of course, she is. Because based on what I read, you know, she influenced him based on what he said, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had an influence on him. And unfortunately, he was assassinated, and she continued to do what she did in honor of her brother. I'm so thankful that she was able to see a lot of things done in honor of her brother, you know.
Right.
Not just the King Center, not just King Day, you know, the King statue, you know, she was able to see that everything he stood for, there's monuments and there's things to for people to see and remember. But my question is, are people really paying attention to and are they learning from the past? Because in my opinion, unfortunately, it doesn't seem like it.
Well, they keep trying to erase the past and put mm-hmm. a whole lot of false
but
things out there.
Mm-hmm. But you're not mm-hmm. going to destroy Ebenezer Baptist Church. You're not going to destroy the King Center. You're not going to destroy the statue. So those are monuments of history, right? They're not going to do that.
Right.
Okay.
And another thing I found out, Michael, I didn't realize that her mother was killed when they did the assassinations of and the bombing of the church. The mm-hmm. kids getting killed. I didn't know her mother was one of the ones that was killed. Until I read the article, because they always talked about the children.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
They always.
No, I said, go ahead.
Whenever you read articles, you always they always talked about the children that died in the church when they had the bombing.
In Birmingham, right? In Birmingham,
yeah,
Alabama, right?
But I don't recall it right, recall the mother. I've been to that church during a conference. My daughter recited poetry at that church, and I had no idea that their mother also died.
I didn't know that. I never heard that. I knew about the three girls who died there, and
mm-hmm.
Well, I shared with you that where. Denise McNair, Chris McNair, the father of Denise, and he has
mm-hmm.
two other daughters. She passed away. And I know Mr. Mack. In fact, I worked for him.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, the family was into, they had a photo studio there. And they owned the property there on 6th Avenue in Birmingham. And he owns a lot of land next to it and built a gallery there. And I was fortunate to – it was the first time I ever took a chance on something like that. I shared the story, but just briefly I want to let you folks know, the listeners, that, yeah, I was working in construction. I was living in Birmingham and everything and got into a – confrontation with someone, you know, on the job, happened to be my brother, and I saw the building going up, and
I asked them, who's doing your drywall work? They said, nobody. You want to do it and everything. And just out of nowhere, I decided, okay, let me take a chance. And I wound up being the drywall contractor and was able to get a Hispanic crew to do the work. Mind you, I never worked on the job myself at all. I was just the middle guy. I went and got myself a business license at that downtown and everything. The procedure was easy. Cost was very low. And I was just collecting the money. And Mr. Mack, from time to time, well, Janet, you know that after a certain percentage of the work is done, you can, you know, request a draw of your payment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget the superintendent said, oh, you want to go ahead and pull a draw? I said, well, yeah. Mr. Mack was in the office. Said, go ahead he said he's in the front of the store because, like I said, there was the photo studio separate building from the new gallery being built. And I remember walking in there and he said, how you doing? I said, fine. He said, and he threw these, you know, bandit wads of money on the counter. He said, you can count it. Okay. Not a check. Mm. He paid me in cash.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. Mm. I'm not going to question it. I grabbed the money, put it in my jacket, and walked my happy ass out the damn door. Went to the bank and deposited. But, no, I knew Mr. Mack. Now, unfortunately, there were some allegations that came up of business dealings, and you guys can Google all that. But I wasn't part of that. I just did what I thought was great. But, no, I knew the other two daughters, and it was a great art gallery. It was huge. In fact, it had a living quarters in the back of it. One of the daughters was living in the back once it was completed. But beautiful building, great work done. So I think someone else bought it. It still exists. The building is still there. But if you're ever in Birmingham, check it out. It's on 6th Avenue and can't remember the cross street. But I'm proud of that whole thing. But I never knew what you just said, that there was another individual or her mother was killed in that bomb.
Yeah, that's what I read. Yeah, I was surprised too.
Okay.
You know, when I was doing the research, you know, on her, pulling up information, you know, I was like, wow. And I was at the church, and I don't recall any of that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never heard of anyone else. I just heard of just the girls.
Right.
Okay, that's something we might want to see if there's more information on that story. You know, the untold story about that. Never knew that. No. But, you know, there's a lot of things that have happened in the past that, granted, it's sad that three little girls died. I guess that was the key thing, is that it was children involved. And unfortunately, they didn't mention the many other individuals that probably were injured or killed. You know, at that time, you know, it was the sympathy for the children, but not the fact that, no, there was more involved, you know. So, yeah, that's something we need to take a look at and do some investigative, like you do, investigative reporting, you know. So we would look into that, definitely. I never knew that. That's interesting. All right, so the time is now 7:26. And though we did start it late, we might go 5 minutes over so that we make sure we get to all the topics we wanted to discuss this Saturday. And due to the issue I had with my provider, it got us like 10 minutes behind schedule, if not more. So we might go another 5 minutes. But let's go ahead and then look at our next one, Janet. We already talked about Christine Ferris. We talked about the hypocrisy behind conservative Supreme Court justices' latest ruling. And then,
let's look at this top Trump
campaign aide. You know, we can't we can't go through a Saturday without mentioning Donald Trump because, I mean, he brings himself to the table. I mean, you can't help it.
Well,
she was the one on the tape.
That's what this is so interesting about.
But now, here's the thing. But here's the thing. I say it every week, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? This man keeps running his mouth. His lawyers tell him, shut up. But he keeps doing it. And incriminating himself because even though an indictment is not a guilt, we know that. You're just being charged, you know, when it comes to federal stuff like that. These type of litigations go on every day. This just happens to be the former president of the United States. He goes in, he hears the charges, he's like, okay, fine, gets back on his plane, flies to his next campaign, and cries the blues. And it's like, but dude, did you hear what you just said on TV the other night? You need to
and
shut
then
the hell
up. And then
he
tries to clean it up. Yeah, but then he goes back and tries to clean it up. Oh, I had a lot of papers and everything. No, you tell on yourself, and then you try to backtrack. But the damage is already done.
And that's the thing is that we're, I'm just in amusement that individuals who support him, to me, they're like the three monkeys. You know who the three monkeys are, right? See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil.
I thought you were talking about the three stooges.
No, the three monkeys. You know, you've seen that cartoon, or not the cartoon, but that where the monkey has his hands over his eyes.
I know.
Over his ears.
On the ears and the eyes.
Over his mouth.
And the mouth, yeah.
And it's like, did you all not hear what this man just said? He just incriminated himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, he tries to backtrack. And it's like, dude, you just said it. You just said it. But still,
so we know now, as that minister, there's word document.
But he's still number one in the poll.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, 50-something percent. And I'm like, wow.
He was helping them get their agenda through, as far as the Supreme Court justices and all things they were trying to overturn, you know, trying to erase all the stuff that Obama did before, you know, during his administration. That's what he did when he was in the White House. He didn't do the wall. All the stuff that he claimed he was going to do, he didn't really do.
Well,
here's
the thing. To me, now all of that is comical because the moment you say Mexico is going to pay for the wall, no, they're not. I knew that from Jump Street. You know, I mean, just looking back, I knew that, dude, really, you're selling people a bill of goods and they're believing it. And I'm really surprised. Well, I don't say surprised, disappointed. People are like, you really believe this BS? Still,
he created a lot of people to follow the shepherd.
You still believe it. Yeah, you still believe the BS. What's that term? I was blind because I couldn't see the forest for the trees. Maybe so. I couldn't see the forest for the trees. Damn it, dumbass. The forest is the trees.
That's right.
And every week there's something that is so comical, but I go back again.
He makes it
Donald
hard
Trump
for his attorneys to be able to, you know.
He's running out of attorneys. He's running out of them. There's many of them who have quit. Said no, we can't work with this guy. Now me, in all honesty, I've had to have a lawyer, and I shut the hell up and listened to my lawyer's advice. Lo and behold, my case is done and over with. Because the lawyer knows the system. Donald Trump was never a lawyer, you guys. He was a business. He was a businessman. Never a lawyer. Barack Obama was a lawyer. That's how come he knew what he decided to take executive power on. He could do, correct? I'm a lawyer.
Hey, Michael, I'm sorry. Do you know they arrested somebody that was trying to get to the Obama's house to kill him, I guess? The same guy, he was during the insurrection, but he never got arrested or anything. And he was living out of his van or truck or whatever.
Van, yeah. Now, I don't know.
400 rounds of ammunition outside the Obama's home.
Right. I saw that story. I never heard that his intent was to kill Obama, but maybe so. But, yeah, I saw that story. I read it briefly just recently. And that they were looking
for him. What else was he there for? 400 rounds of ammunition.
Yeah, right. But I'm just saying, but the articles never say that was his intent.
Mm.
You know, we have to wait on that one. So that's interesting. You know, probably could have been to kill him. It probably could have been to kill, you know, anybody within the Obama residence. But
Trump gave Obama the dress out. And that's why the guy showed up there.
Say that again.
Trump gave Obama's dress a dress out. He put his address out there on social media. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's kind of easy to find certain locations of political figures.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff. It's pretty easy to find that information. That's why you have so much security, because people do have access to it, you know. And that's the crazy thing about social media and the fact that these individuals are exposed and crazies like this guy. But yeah, I did read briefly that story of this individual, and they said that he was actually on social media saying that he was surprised that they hadn't got him yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's
he was living out of his truck ever since the insurrection.
There was a photo or a video clip of him at the insurrection inside of the Capitol. Right. So see, that's the scary thing about it when you have individuals who say, like Tucker Carlson, oh, they were all peaceful. They were, dude, come on, man. We saw what we saw. We saw what we saw. You can't say everybody that was there was peaceful. Maybe a handful that was there before the crowd arrived. I'll give you that. Maybe a handful was there. But from my understanding, there were no tours that day.
No.
Correct me if I'm wrong. But from my understanding, there was no tours that day.
Well, Tucker was trying to make it look like it was a tour and peaceful.
Yeah.
He was arrested with weapons and ammunition outside Obama's home.
Okay.
If you want to read that article, I'll send it to you.
Well, you can send it to me. Yeah, I will read it. I'll definitely read it because I did catch it, a little bit of it. I didn't have a chance to really read the whole thing, but send it to me. I'll read it on the air and let the listeners hear it.
They said because he was acting erratically.
But here's the thing, though, Janet. It doesn't matter to a certain extent to some individuals, because they're like, well, that's that individual's choice, right? He chose to do that. Trump had nothing to do with it. But, you know, there's, you know, words are powerful. And in this instance, the words were powerful. People wanted Donald Trump to become president again, regardless of what the system said. Now, before I read that, though, and let me finish with that, here's something that people need to understand. the majority of people who are testifying, people that were in Donald Trump's circle.
Yeah. Yeah. All the people that's been testifying.
Well, hold on. I'm not done. But let me say this. It's the people that are in Donald Trump's circle. Some
mm-hmm.
folks will say, well, they're trying to save their own ass. I would too. They're lying to say that they're not lying.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling the truth. They have no choice because here's the thing about law enforcement, and you should understand this. Law enforcement will call you in, sit your ass down, and question you in hopes you'll tell them the truth. But
mm-hmm.
they already know a lot of information. And if you slip up one time, they'd be like, there's lie number one, because we already have the proof. Ask you another question. Oh, lie number two, we already have the proof. They won't tell you this. They're like, okay, So what happened next? And you keep jabbing your jaws. Lie number three. Three strikes, you're out. And then what they do, they're like, okay, let us show you something. This, here's that. Everything you just told us, these three things that you just lied about, you can get 20 years behind bars. See, it's a factor where they're not trying to, it's not where they're trying to go after Donald Trump. They're just telling the damn truth and not incriminate themselves. See, because they already told lies, some of them. And then once the lies has been, proven, to tell the truth, to keep from being an accomplice to the crime. That's not just with Donald Trump. That's with law, period. That's with court, period. So when people say, the Democrats are doing this, the Democrats, this has nothing to do with the Democrats or party per se. It's the fact of where breaking the law is breaking the law. Getting
Thank
the truth
you.
Out is getting the truth out. And the things that where these individuals who are majority Republicans, most folks are saying, oh, well, they're all snitches. Shit, if it means I'm going to stay out of prison for 30 years or 20-something years, you damn right I'm going to snitch because I'm not the one who masterminded this. There are individuals who said, told the former president, you can't do that. Now let's look at the thing of where the documents. He clearly says on the tape, this is top secret. He clearly says it. And you hear someone says, what did she say? We're in trouble now, right? Towards the end of it. Why would they make that comment? Because they knew, this is something you shouldn't have. Come on now. The man did wrong. Now, again, I'll say this. He will not do prison time. I don't think so. I truly don't. I truly doubt Donald Trump will go to prison. I think that the main thing is to break him and remove him from politics. I think that's basically what they want to do. Because if you think the insurrection was bad, imagine if they put handcuffs on him and took him to a prison. That's just my opinion. The MAGA group will go crazy. That's the point they're at right now. They go crazy. This is their messiah. Okay?
And that's because you cannot treat somebody that's a narcissist like they are God or Jesus, because they're not. He's not going to round up people and take them to Guantanamo Bay for tribunal like a lot of people think. It's not going to happen.
Well, no, the thing is, what I'm just saying, at some point, there has to be an end to everything. And I think that with all these court dates that Donald Trump has lined up before him, you know, and I think that with all of them, whatever the sentence is, well, you can't run, the state and federal can't run concurrently, I don't think. But all the federal can run concurrent, whatever the states are, or can run concurrent. But I don't think he's going to spend time in jail. I think it's going to be a situation where they're going to make a plea deal. His lawyers, well, what lawyers he have left, will make a plea deal for him to go free. He's not going to be allowed to do this. He's not going to be allowed to do that. You know, they're going to monitor him for a long period of time. He's going to have to pay a lot of money. And that's another thing. People forget about his history of a lot of money he never paid people that worked for him and everything. The man has a history. Well, fortunately, his wrongdoings prior to being a politician have caught up with him in the political field, right? I mean, if you really think about it, it's really caught up with him. The things, the wrongdoings he did.
Caught up with who, Trump?
As a business.
Caught up with Trump?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Trump wasn't
Trump.
Even
you
political.
At,
he wasn't even a politician until he decided to run.
Janet, what I said was this. His wrongdoings, businessman, has finally caught up with him as a politician.
Uh-huh.
You know, right. It's finally caught up. We know about the fact that he's filed bankruptcy 7 times. We know about, you know, his whole thing with his properties and everything, him and his dad and everything, the casino stuff, this, that, and the other. We know about all that stuff. But all those wrong things he did to those people, you know, those companies back then, never paying them, finally caught up with him when he became a politician. Because he felt like he was untouchable all those years. But, you know, I believe in karma. It might take a while, but it will find you. And it took a while, and it finally found him. That's just my opinion. Just my opinion. But he's such a narcissist. He believes that he's done nothing wrong. But history shows, yes, you have. And it's not saying that it's impossible that you won't do it again. Your history shows what you've done wrong. You've been convicted. Look at the Trump organization. You just got convicted of one thing, your organization, not you personally. But your organization did. Does that not have your name, the Trump organization? And you're going to say, oh, well, I don't have nothing really to do with that. Well, you need to pay more attention to your business dealings. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, common sense. Let's think back to individuals like Kathy Lee Griffin. You remember when she was when there was a whole deal about, I think it was her clothing line or something, and the slave labor that was supposed to be going on in another country, I think in China or whatever, for her clothing line. And she got drilled about it, right? Granted, she's got people who work for her and everything, but you should still know what's going on. You have knowledge of what the hell is going on to a certain extent, and if you don't, then you're ignorant. You got to know who's making your product with your name on it. I mean, come on, y'all. You just going to sign a contract and say, yeah, what? You want me to be the name brand for your clothing? Sure. What's your name again? That don't matter. Okay, sure. Send me a check every time. You got to follow who the hell is representing your brand. You can't make excuses for it. Because if it's your name, and Trump is not a common name. It's not a common name. Williams, James, Daniels, Smith, Washington might be coming. But Trump? It's not a common name. So automatically, they're going to look at you.
As I said,
yeah, with Kathy Lee Gifford, I believe that's who it was. If you guys recall, if you recall, and you can Google it, yeah, they jumped, they pounced on her so hard. She claimed, I didn't know. How could you not know? It's your brand, woman. Your publicist, your lawyer, everybody should know what the hell is going on and let you know. And here's a sweatshop. They're not going after, they're going after you.
Because
they feel like you condone this. You're okay with this. You're lining your pockets. You're responsible for your brand. You're responsible for my name on this show. I'm responsible there every time I come on what's on the show. I can't blame anybody else. That's my name. And any other host of any other show should be able to take ownership of whatever is being promoted about their show or their, you know, or whatever product that they're advertising. You got to do your research. People don't excuse stuff like that. They don't excuse it. So with Donald Trump, no, you can't blame everybody. He said he was going to hire the best of the best. His best of the best, few of them have been, many of them, I should say, have been having to sit and talk to folks, for lack of a better term, about what's going on. But,
right.
Well, I had nothing to do with it. That was them. They did it on their own. Come on, man. I work for a company. I can't blame my boss for me being late to work. Okay? Just an example. I can't blame my boss for everything that happens, you know, to me.
Michael.
And then again, no, well, I just want to say this. And then again, my boss can't blame me for for everything that goes wrong with the business. The boss has to take some kind of responsibility. Donald Trump has not taken responsibility for many of these crimes or allegations that are towards him. At some point, he has to. Go ahead, Janet.
No, I got to take my dog out. Remember I told you he had, like, heat stroke?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so
go ahead.
I got to – I'm going to try – I'll still be here. I'm just stepping away for a minute.
No problem at all. Okay, so yeah, Janet's dog, unfortunately, had a little heat stroke earlier today, so we got to take him outside for a minute, and she should be back in a moment. So we're going to take a quick music break. What do I want to play? Oh, we'll do this, and we'll be right back. Check this out, you guys. This is great. This is a group called 3TOB, the original band. Now, where does that come from? You guys know Tony, right? And everybody thinks of Tony as just three guys. But really, Tony consisted of seven members. And if you go to YouTube, pull up a video called, I think it's called No Loyalty, No Royalty. And it's a true story of what happened with that band. But these cats, 3TOB, the original members, got some great music, great songs, awesome. But I'm going to play this and we'll be right back, okay?
They don't see you.
Welcome back to our show and more conversation with our special guest today.
Oh, Lord. Hey, this is Cheryl Cooley of the all-female band Climax, and you're listening to The Michael Gay Show. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Elise, for that drop. Duck Northwest Media has been listening to the show and gave us a thumbs up. So thank you, Duck, for listening all this time. Appreciate it. All right. So, Janet, I think we're at the top of the hour. I think we covered everything.
Yeah.
Is there something that we missed?
No.
I think we got everything.
I think we got everything.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for your great research, great conversation. Next Saturday is up in the air because there's an event coming up here in Atlanta, and I'm debating if I want to attend or not. And actually, I don't really like to tell my personal business. But, yeah, I got a recent promotion, so my scheduling is going to be changing. But fortunately, my Saturdays are still off. So I will still be here every Saturday doing the show. But there's an event coming up next Saturday that I'm debating if I'm going to attend. But I will keep you guys posted. You will know if we're on air live next Saturday or if we do a rebroadcast. Okay? So thank you again for joining the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, every Saturday here on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure you always join us at www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS. Or call into the show at 516-531-9861. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, and whatever time it is, wherever you are over the seas, because it is a worldwide network, it's that time. Janet, any final words before we get out of here?
No, just enjoy the different subjects that we covered, and I hope everybody have a wonderful 4th of July.
Oh, yes, definitely. I see someone just popped up from Birmingham. Hello, Birmingham. How are you doing? I see you on the board. You know I ain't going to miss you all when you call in. Yeah, 4th of July weekend. Atlanta has a scheduled fireworks show tonight, and actually it's considered the largest in the country. Interesting. You know, hope everybody has fun. Be careful out there, though. Be very careful. It has been stated fireworks are not allowed in any, if you live in an area or if you're going to, let's say, a national forest or whatever, don't take any fireworks, please. And also, nowhere near a gas station. It makes common sense, right? At least 500 yards from a gas station. The people that are that stupid, I just have to say that. You know, just don't pay attention. Pay attention. Be careful. Don't drink and drive. Get a designated driver. You know, it was back in the days when you could call a cab. Now you got Uber, Lyft, and all kinds of transportation services out there. If you get too intoxicated, park your car, lock it, call a Uber, call a Lyft, go home safely, you know. All right? So with that being said, you know what, Jenna, I'm going to do? I'm going to play some more 3TOB music. We're going to go out. Since I added more time to the show, I added, 30 minutes? Well, I only can do 30 minutes. Well, I can only do 30-minute intervals. So I'm going to use that 30 minutes and give you guys some more music. But I really appreciate everyone for chiming in this Saturday. And next week, again, I'll let you know what we're going to do. And coming soon, I know I've been saying this, but trust me, coming soon is going to be a live stream, okay? I promise this. All right. And again, I've got a new promotion, and it starts tomorrow, and I'm like, my schedule's changed. Now I got to be at work at 7 o'clock in the morning, Janet. 7 a.m.
Wow. I used to have to be at work at 5:30 and 6.
So when I get off this show, I better go and take my butt to bed.
Mhm. Yeah, because you're not used to going in early. Yeah, but
I was listening to the music,
but I gotta attend to my. I don't know. I might
dog,
have to take
right,
my dog
yeah.
to the vet. He might have to go
yeah,
to the vet.
Yeah, I understand that. Right, definitely. No, but like I said, I was used to getting up early morning when I worked in construction because I had to be at work at 7 in the morning. So it's almost going back in time. All right, with that being said, you guys, thank you so much. God bless. We're going to go ahead and close it out with more music for the next 30 minutes here on TMGS. Hope you enjoy. Here's more music from 3TOB. Janet, love you. God bless. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Golden time. Yeah.